Today on Tips from the Top Floor, we'll talk about ice packs. We'll look at the photos of the November Challenge winners. Bob wonders about web photo consistency. I'm giving Anchor another shake, and we'll have to talk about Patreon. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 802 for Thursday, December the 7th, 2017. Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right. Hey, hello, welcome. This is Chris Marquardt. You're listening to Tips from the Top Floor, the longest-running photography show on the planet. Let me see. Episode 802. I got some wisdom teeth out 2 days ago. So if I speak funnily, then that's why that is. It's not too bad. It went really rather quickly. I'm not in pain or anything. Just got a bit of a... one of my cheeks is a bit... bigger than usual, and but it's healing well. So that was 2 days ago. So I'll probably make this a bit of a shorter episode. Okay, what I want to talk about today is the November challenge. I have two more housekeeping things towards the end of the show that, I think are kind of important, but I'll postpone them to the end of the show. So, of course, and a question from you, and that's it for the show today. So let's start with the November challenge, the one that Matt set up. As usual, Matt sets up a challenge every 2 months, and it runs for 2 months, and you can submit a photo, and the photo, I will go through the photos at the end of the challenge, and then it's on me to decide which ones I want to talk about. And I did that for three photos again. The challenge was bokeh. It was what is your idea of bokeh? And it's kind of the when you say bokeh, which is the out of focus part, usually in behind the subject in the back of the photo, then bokeh is this fuzzy concept, literally fuzzy concept. And for some people, it means, hey, I'll shoot as wide open as I can. I have a 1.2 lens. I paid for 1.2. I'm going to use it. While for the others, bokeh is more of a consideration, thinking about how much bokeh do I use? What do I make the bokeh look like? What do I put in the background? And how much do I actually put it, take it out of focus? Do I leave some context in the photo or don't I? And context is a very, very central concept for me. Context is very, very important in photos. I've seen portraits of people that are just portraits, and they are well lit, and they are shot wide open. And especially when you travel, that kind of takes the context of the travel out of it. And while they are good portraits, I miss the context. I want to see where this photo was taken. And if you look at some travel portraits of people from there, I often see this photo that could have been taken in a studio around the corner here. So I'm a fan of context, and you will see this in my choice of the photos. I also love the dialogue between the subject and the bokeh, between what's going on behind the subject and the subject itself. So I love it when there is some purpose to the bokeh. And it was an amazing turnout. You guys are all wonderful. Thank you so much for participating. I'm really happy you all did. And here are the three photos I want to talk about. First is by Chris Butler, Aspen on the Beach. And by the way, those are all linked from the show notes. You can go back and look at them. Some of them are on Slack, on the Tips from the Top Floor Slack. If you're not on the Slack, you can't see them. But hey, tfttf.com/yslack, WHYSLACK. It has the instructions on how to get on the Slack, and then you cannot only watch the photos, you can also participate in the next challenge if you want to. So here we go. Chris Butler, Aspen on the Beach. What do we see? We see a beach, we see a dog on the beach, the dog is in focus, the beach goes out of focus after, 5 feet, and in the background you see ships, so it's some sort of a little harbor situation. And the ships are just ships, but then there are three of them with really, I think the official term is salient sails on there. Sails that are like shouting for attention. They command a lot of attention. They are bright yellow with red stripes and blue tips. And that, not just that, they are also in the reflection on the water. So they are kind of... initially, I looked at it and said, oh, what a distraction from the subject. Because the dog is the subject. And it's very clear the dog is the subject because the dog is in focus. And focus helps you see something as a subject. So the main subject is totally clear. There's no doubt about it. But then those sails in the background go, ooh, hello, here we are. Look at us. We are important. We are bright yellow and have lots of contrast. And but then I looked at it again and I came back to this photo because... well, I like a few things about it. Well, first of all, one thing I don't like about it, it's slightly skewed. The water is kind of tipping towards the left, but hey, that's just a minor niggle. No, I like it because A, it has context. The background is not completely blurred, because if it was completely blurred, you wouldn't know it's sails. You would just see some bright stuff in the background that would shout for attention, but you wouldn't know what it is, and that would at least would leave me with a bit of dissatisfaction. And then the second is the placement. And I don't know, Chris, if you got lucky there or if that was on purpose. Let me assume it was on purpose. You framed the dog in those sails, so the dog is in between the sails. There's a left on the left and the right, there are sails, and that kind of helps the dog sit where it needs to sit in the photo. And that's what I like about it. Works for me. Thank you for submitting that photo. Next photo is by... Sedomil Kolik. Sorry. Sedomil. Or Kedomil. Title is It's Not Christmas Yet. And it's... a photo that, I don't know, I don't even know what kind of a story it tells me, but it gives me that, yeah, Christmassy vibe. And the reason it does that is because you have point light sources and lots of them. And the colors are red and green and yellow. And so you have these warm and Christmassy type colors. It's some form of doorway in the front, I guess. Looks like it was made from wooden pallets of some sort. You only see a part of it, so it's not a full object. You can't really tell what it is, but it has a chain of small lights connected to it, and then there are chains of lights in the background, and they are out of focus. And while they are strongly out of focus, it kind of helps to set the mood. So that's a very moody picture, and that is something that, yeah, works for me. In the bokeh is interesting because these discs, depending on the kind of camera or especially the kind of lens you have, these discs sometimes have soft edges. Those are real discs. They have a hard edge, but they're still out of focus, which I find funny sometimes in bokeh. But that's just the way this one works. The fact that those discs in the background are round, that they are fully rounded, they don't have corners, they are not little hexagons or heptagons or octagons. No, they are round. That would probably point towards the fact that you, I guess, shot this wide open. So when you shoot a lens wide open, you don't see the aperture blades. You see just the open aperture, which doesn't have any corners. And that's one of the things that I can read out of this photo. But it has a lot of mood, a lot of atmosphere. So Sedomil, thank you. I like how the foreground and the background relate, how there is some communication there. And last but not least, a photo called November Bokeh by Roan Dickey. And this is an interesting play on bokeh. This is an interesting play on where things are in focus and where they're not. Because what he's holding in his hand, I guess he shot this himself with the camera on the right hand. And then in the left hand, in front of the camera, he holds a glass ball. And what does the glass ball do? Well, the glass ball, that's where the focus is. And the glass ball focuses the background and turns it upside down, because that's what glass balls do. And the background is completely out of focus. So there is a, yeah, looks again a bit like a wide open shot. The shape of the bokeh, yeah, I would probably point towards that as well. So it's a wide open shot, which I don't mind, because in this case, the bokeh relates to the sharp picture in the glass ball, because it is, the bokeh is the same as the thing in the glass ball, but the thing in the glass ball is in focus, the bokeh is out of focus. You can sort of see the background in two phases at the same time. It's also interesting how the colors kind of play into this picture, because you have the background being out of focus. The background is completely blurred, but you see orange and red and warm colors in the background. The foreground is lit warmly. You see the hand that holds the ball is lit warmly. So it's all warm tones. And then in the glass ball, you have this picture of the background, which is a building, and it has rained. You can see the foreground being the pavement being wet. But then there's also these blue tones, and because it's a night photo, there's a blue sky, there's bluish clouds and blue shadows in the foreground. So you have this interesting mix of warm colors and cool colors, and it's all in one photo. Has a bit of a Christmassy vibe, almost. I don't see a lot of Christmas decorations in the photo. Don't think there are any, but it might be the ball shape, because it has sort of reminiscent of a Christmas ornament. So yeah, the great communication again between background and foreground. So Chris Sedomil, Roan, thank you so much for participating. You've been awesome. And here is the new challenge.
Hello everyone, Ravstar the Release Pixie here with your next Tips from the Top Floor Slack challenge. The challenge for this month, which will be these months, which will be December 2017 through the end of January 2018, is light. Nothing fancy, no restrictions, just light. So focus on how you use the light, how you show the light, and what the light does for your photo. You can even make light part of your photos, things like light trails from the sun in the sky, or the lights that you use to light up an object. You could put them in the photo instead of hiding them beyond the edges of the frame. So go out, take a brand new photo with the topic of light, post it up on the Tips from the Top 4 Slack. I'll have by the time this is out, I'll have the new challenge channel created. Remember, only one photo per person. And at the end of January 2018, we'll lock that down. Chris will look at them, take a few that he would like to talk about, and talk about them on the show and share them with everyone. And hopefully here shortly, Chris has or will review the November 2017 Slack challenge photos. And hopefully those are really well received. We had a lot of entries for the November challenge this month. So again, everybody have a good evening or a good day, and happy shooting.
Happy shooting. Thanks, Matt. Awesome. Light. Oh, light. Light is so important. Light is the most important thing for photography at all. The light, if you know how to see light, if you know how to judge light, if you know how to recognize good light, then that's 90% of the photo. I'm serious. If you see awesome light, hey, that should be an inner trigger. That should be something that pokes you right in the ribs and goes, hey, take that picture. So light is everything. And the Slack challenge is open until the end of January. And you are invited to participate. And then at the end of the challenge, I will pick three photos, talk about them here in the show. And it's the Slack channel is also linked from the show notes. You have to be on the Slack. You have to be a Slack member to see it. And again, tfttf.com/yslack, if you are not a member of the Slack yet. Let me say a quick thanks to Canvas people for supporting this episode of the show. Christmas is coming. It's coming in big, big and fast steps. Family gatherings, you'll see friends, and another year of celebrating our traditions. It's wonderful. That's also a great time to make memories that you will all cherish for years to come. And of course, one of the outcomes of these wonderful gatherings are photos. Awesome photos that you take of each other. And let's be honest, many of those will end up somewhere in the cloud, never to be seen again. Poof, gone. Well, let's do something about that with a special deal from canvaspeople.com. CanvasPeople.com is an easy-to-use photo-to-canvas service that takes your favorite photo memories and turns them into beautiful artwork. Don't let that wonderful photo collect dust in the cloud. Bring it to life and hang it on your wall. A photo printed by Canvas People is also a wonderful gift, especially with Christmas coming up. Be quick, because the orders are coming in fast. All canvases are of the highest quality and made in the United States. Everything ships fast and with great attention to detail, and they have served over 1 million happy customers. And they have put a little package together for you that is amazing. You know what you normally pay for their 11 by 14 canvas? That's almost $70, 70. It's $69.99. Now here's a limited time offer that you cannot ignore. They will give you one free, yes, free as in free, 11 by 14 canvas. All you pay is the shipping. 11 by 14, $70 value for free. That's amazing. What do you have to do to get this amazing deal? Go to canvaspeople.com. Canvaspeople.com and use offer code TOPFLOOR at checkout. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code TOPFLOOR for a free 11 by 14 canvas print. And I thank them so much for the support.
Hi Chris, this is Bob from Canberra in Australia saying g'day to you and all the Top Floor listeners. I'd also like to encourage anyone who hasn't made the jump yet to join the Slack Space Forum. It's a great community and it's well worth the effort. Thanks for all the hard work that you and Matt have put into the show. You're obviously doing something right with over 800 shows completed. My question is about the way that we display our photos, and in particular, issues of controlling what the viewer sees. When an image is viewed on the web, it's affected by the quality and the setup of the monitor and other factors like compression and the size at which it's displayed. This hits home to me because I often find that viewing my own photos on different devices can give me very different experiences in terms of quality. Prints, of course, tend to be more consistent, although they are also subject to the lighting in the environment where they're viewed, and they're clearly not as portable as web images. My question is, how do we as photographers share our images on the web while maintaining a standard, consistent experience for all viewers?
Hey, Bob, this is a good question. And it's one question I've been fighting with myself. And let me start this with an anecdote. Years back, I used to do some web design, and I had a client, and she was in my office, and we worked on some background colors for a web page, and we chose this nice tone of blue, and she went back home and I worked on the web page and I sent her a link to preview what I did, and she got back to me. I think she was on the phone within 20 seconds. She was not in a good mood. That blue tone is so wrong. It's so different than what we talked about. And the short of the story is, of course, her screen was completely misconfigured and she just didn't, there was no chance she would see this. It went so far that I would change the color on my side, on the good screen, so that it looked okay to her on her screen. Yeah, let's not get into this anymore. She was one of the reasons I'm not doing web design anymore. It's just, okay. So the short of it is you have no control whatsoever over other people's screen settings and how they see your photo. You do not have any control. They could have a well-calibrated screen and see the photos exactly the way you see them on your screen. That's the ideal case. Most people don't. They could have a screen that, I don't know, has a broken or misconfigured green channel that dips everything into a greenish tint. Or they could have an old display panel, like a really old one that is so sensitive to angles that with every bit they move in front of the screen, left and right, the colors get skewed. They could have their screen set too dark and wouldn't see the one that wouldn't see a picture in the brightness that you intended. And And then, of course, if you take into account that the surroundings of a screen will influence the way that they perceive contrast and colors, what's behind of the screen does that. You could have a red wallpaper behind the screen that makes it look different. Things could become even worse. I mean, if they could have their screens in front of a window and your photos will look very different to them depending on if it's bright outside or if it's dark. There's about a million things that can go wrong here. So it's all terrible and we should just give up, right? Of course not. I'm just kidding. But let me tell you a few words on perception, because that might help put you at ease a bit more. First, even if they sit in front of the most horrible screen with the most horribly off colors, the most horrible contrast, you know, they will see everything on the screen this way. And our sensory system is really good in adapting to outside circumstances, to the point where you won't even notice that something is off. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Their screen is configured in a weird way, but they see everything on that screen now in that way, and there is some compensation going on. Second, at least to a certain amount, the content of an image will inform what we see, what we perceive. Let's say, I don't know, let's say you're showing an orange on your photo, and their screen has a green tint to it. That will then be on, of course, a green tinted orange, but they will still see this as an orange because that's the color oranges have. There are lots of experiments about that and how we perceive things differently than they actually are. It works with taste, works with visuals. And that's not a conscious effort on their part that they see this orange as orange. It happens automatically. It happens subconsciously. So I'm not saying that their visual system will like 100% color correct your photos on their screen. That's not certainly not true, but it's a lot less absolute. It's a lot more relative than you think. Now, the fact that there is pretty much nothing you can do that will fix things on their side, this does, of course, not mean that you can do whatever you want. No. You should work in a very clean fashion. There's one thing that you can do, and that is you have to edit on a screen that is profiled, or calibrated, or just a really good screen. I'm an Apple fanboy, I know, but the 5K iMac that I have here is one of the best screens I've ever worked on. I did color checks on it. I didn't even calibrate this because it is good and it has been good for like spot on with the colors. But if that's not the computer that you work on, get one of these color profiler spider thingies. There's lots of them out there, and give your screen a good color profile. That's one thing that you can do for good color consistency, contrast consistency, and this way you will deliver the best raw material that you can, and then the others have the best chance of seeing something that's at least close to what you intended them to see. Okay, enough about that. Two housekeeping things. I told you that I wanted to talk about two things here at the end of the episode. And one is Anchor. Yeah, Anchor. Anchor is this, well, it's hard to explain. And I've tried it a while ago when it didn't really work for me. And I tried it as a back channel into the show. And that didn't work as well as I hoped it would. But they have improved. They have changed a lot of things, and I've looked at it, and it looks like it's a bit of an on and off relationship. But I'm giving this another go. So if you want to interact on Anchor, I'm there as Chris Marquardt. One word, Chris Marquardt. There's a website. I'm putting almost daily stuff on there. There's a website, Anchor, anchor.fm/Chris Marquardt. And this is, I record snippets throughout the day, and they're about photography and stuff that's going on here. And then I press a button and it turns that into a podcast and releases it as an episode somewhere out there. But I'd love to have some interaction on Anchor. So if you are on that platform, hey, check me out. Press the call in button and leave a little message or a little anecdote or just anything. And of course, you can always send something in here to this show directly if you want to. And that's by recording something on your smartphone and send it to voice@tfttf.com. So there are now multiple ways, and I might take a few things that come in through Anchor and use them here on the show, and vice versa. So yeah, I'm just playing with this, and let me see by calling in if this works for you. And one last thing, that is something that's not as cool. I use Patreon. Patreon is that platform that you can use to support me here on the show, and a lot of you do by pitching in a dollar or two per episode, and I'm really grateful that you do this, because the overall Patreon payments, it's nothing you can live off, at least I can't, but it gives me some additional freedom to spend time on this show and on my other podcasts. For example, the futureofphotography.com, it wouldn't be possible without some support from you through Patreon. So this is all awesome, but now Patreon has introduced a new fee structure. Now, I don't fully understand it yet. My wisdom teeth removal got in the way here. But I've seen other Patreon users, other producers, be kind of up in arms about this. And I guess my understanding right now is it changes the amount of payments that end up in my pocket. And again, I might get this wrong. I really have to look into this deeper. But let's say you pledge a dollar per episode. Of course, it's obvious that's not what I get. If you pledge a dollar, I will get a percentage of that. I think 70%, 80%, 90%, something. Not really 100% clear. Because there's a fee that Patreon takes off of that, of course. That's a service that has to be paid for. And then the money has to get from Patreon to me. So there is a payment processor involved, and they take their share, of course. And then there's an exchange rate. Like, I get euros, but you pitch in a dollar. So there's an exchange rate that the payment processor sets, and that's probably not as good as it could be. So they're making some money on that as well. And so there's a certain percentage that comes in, or that used to come in. Now, a Patreon, for some reason, again, they changed that fee structure. And as far as I understand it, again, I'm not 100% sure about this, but as far as I understand it, there's now a disadvantage, especially in the lower tiers. Like, if you're on the $1 tier, I think they used to use a percentage, but now it's a percentage plus a fixed component. It's a smaller percentage, but there's a fixed component. And with the lower tiers, that is disproportionately high. It's something like that. I'm still trying to make sense of it. For now, I will stay on Patreon. I know that a few others are arguing that they want to leave Patreon. But for now, I will stay on Patreon. It might be a financial aid. I don't really... Yeah, again, I look more into this. I do appreciate your support here. Again, it enables me to do things that I wouldn't be able to do. But once I found out how big the impact actually is, I'll get back to you on this. And yeah, that's just the current status of it, and I will let you know as soon as I know more. Thank you so much for your support. That was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Thank you so much for being subscribed, for supporting the show, for interacting with the show. Again, check out the Anchor channel. That is something that I'm going to put some effort in. And yeah, I'll go and put another ice pack on my cheek. Again, if you want to send in a question for the show, record it with the voice memo app of your choice and send it to voice@tfttf.com. That's voice@tfttf.com. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, Silent Partner, and Hans Peter Kagrud. Publishing and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Refsiter Armstead. Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer, CIO Russ. My name is Chris Marquardt. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Marquardt. Chris, MarquardT. And I told you that you laughter after pain. And of course, go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other. And happy shooting.